What's up, guys? It's Gray Haas, and you have no idea how much it helps us when people like Gary, Amanda A., David A.S., and someone called Big Easy Blasphemy, great handle, by the way, join the Patreon. Our goal is to try to get to 500 supporters over there, which frees us up to do more things like live shows, live streams, and bonus content. You can even do a free trial. So please, please help us reach our goal of 500 supporters. For the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can help Mega keep going. Head to patreon.com/megathepodcast or check the link in the show notes. And thanks. Hey friends, you've probably heard me mention ButcherBox on here before, but if you haven't tried it, I gotta wonder, maybe you just hate deals? ButcherBox is high-quality meat and seafood you can trust, delivered right to your doorstep. It takes the guesswork out of shopping, and it is a godsend when it comes to saving me money and time. And here's the thing. If you're going to be cooking meat or seafood, just give it a try for a month and see if you like it. It feels decadent to have a freezer stocked with your favorite ingredients, and truly, who else is offering you free protein for a year? That's manna from heaven. What even is manna, by the way? Anyway, today, ButcherBox is giving Mega listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Use my link, butcherbox.com/mega, and use code MEGA to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/mega, and use the code MEGA.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Mega is an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch.
We are here, Lord, we are here, and we're ready to podcast.
Hiya, I'm Hallie Labonte, and this is Mega, coming to you from Twin Hills Community Church, where every single week we give our mega church a tiny family feel. We introduce you to members of our church staff, our community. Ooh, I do believe it is a treat and it is a treasure. Well, per usual, I'm joined by my co-host. He's the youth pastor for our high school ministry called Climax. Please welcome Gray Haas, everybody.
Hey, Hallie.
Hey, Gray, how's it going with your Climax kids?
I don't even care. Hallie, I'm in a bit of a personal crisis right now. Uh-oh. In fact, I feel like I've seen a ghost or something.
You look like you've seen a ghost. You're pale. What's wrong?
Well, Hallie, I guess for those who've been listening for a while, you know that I've had two really serious relationships in the past year.
Yeah, you've mentioned them before.
I've had Minga Kinderbottom.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Minga eaten by a shark. That was a doozy.
And also... Becky DeBupo.
Booga DeBapo.
And, Hallie, it turns out that Manga is still alive.
What? She survived the attack?
There was no attack, Hallie.
No shark, no attack?
No. She faked her own death.
Oh, what?
Apparently, she faked her own death, Hallie.
What on earth?
I know. So... I'm kind of freaking out because I'm finding this all out because, you know, I had to essentially, she started contacting me at my old place. You know, right now I'm actually crashing at my duplex that I bought with, I'm not sure if I mentioned him, but my friend Clay Mason Bannerman. Yeah. And so she started leaving all these crazy messages at my old place.
Oh,
and so I'm like, well, I can't go back to my condo. And so now I'm just like pretty much holed up at the duplex, and I'm just going to stay there for now because apparently Manka is back and she's alive. She was just hiding out in Mexico in like a love nest or something.
Wow.
And then what's crazy is that Becky DeBupo came and then she got all like jelly of everything, like my kids say. And so she's like, you know, posting all this, you know, trash online about how like I don't respect her and that I only like wanted to go on God's house to, you know, basically, you know, like advance my career, which is insane. My career is amazing. So I'm just dealing with this whole thing right now with I've got these, you know, these three people like vying for my attention, you know.
Two people?
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
Well, Gray, if I may give you a word basket of encouragement, I think you're just going to have to get used to all these women being after you and throwing themselves at you because you're a good looking man of God.
I know. It's insane, Hallie. I just don't like, I just wish women would, you know, kind of just stay in their lane. I don't know. Like, it basically is the guy's job to like go after the lady. And right now I'm just telling them like, hey, I'm really busy right now. I don't have time for this. Plus you faked your own death, Minka. So I'm a little bit PO'd about that.
Oh, so much drama for your mama.
I know. How was your week, Hallie?
Oh, we had such an interesting conversation in one of our staff meetings here at Twin Hills this week because it made the news that there was a pastor of a megachurch in California who put his hands in dog poop as a, you know, as like a teaching metaphor from the stage, you know, in the middle of a Sunday service. And, you know, he was talking about how our sin is disgusting to God.
Yeah,
and so,
totally.
You know, he had to throw himself into, he said he has two giant mastiff dogs and he had some Great Dane doo-doo up there on the you know, stage right next to his really you know, neat modern looking you know, plexiglass pulpit up there. And he just said, you know how abhorrent our sin is to a perfect heavenly father? It's like this. And he just shoves his hands into the dog doo-doo. And in our staff meeting this week, we were kind of talking about like, now is that embarrassing for us as Christians and as Christ followers?
No, Hallie, I think that's a really powerful, you know, I don't even think it's a metaphor. I just think it's like a pretty visceral image, especially with the plexiglass see-through, you know?
Yeah. And I just feel like, you know what? As Christians, we're all on the same team. And even if we can't pick the players wearing our jersey, we got to be proud.
That's right.
And then I also noticed in the news this week that there was a megachurch pastor who was requiring proof of non-vaccinated people. He said, only come to this church if you are not vaccinated, because I don't want to be a part of that whole Democratic plan. And then, of course, my son Day has to pipe in and he says, Mom, you know, it's pretty difficult to prove a negative. You can't prove a negative. You know, we don't have any like non-vaccinated passports.
I know. I don't even know that what that would look like. Maybe like a Salt Life hat or something.
But then I was able to, in the same way that that megachurch pastor used the dog doo-doo as a cool teaching metaphor for our sin, I said, oh, really, Day? It's difficult to prove a negative, so maybe it's pretty ignorant to be an atheist.
Oh, I love it when you own him like that.
That's right. You play with the bull, you get the horns.
When you listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, you get a belly full of laughs and a head full of real information. Our gallimaufry of expert guests answer questions on stuff adults need to know. I have mold in my dwelling. What do I do? What's gerrymandering? What happens chemically when I fall in love? How do I handle a parent-teacher conference? What are microbes? Listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Solve problems, get laughs.
Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because I really value truth, misinformation really, really scares me. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that dismantles New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis. At their best, they attack public health efforts in times of crisis, and at their worst, it's like they're recruiting for the fever dream of QAnon. On Conspirituality, you will have a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic all discussing stories and cult dynamics and helping educate us and using proven science as their guiding light. I really recommend the Jordan Klepper episode talking about creating comedy in the MAGAverse. Jordan's incredible. And I also really love the Medical Medium episode. It's really good, and not just because I've had my own weird experiences with mediums. From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed against misinformation and resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like Jesus leads a heavenly choir of angels, our guest today leads a choir of handbells. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Mr. Randy Sindare.
Hi, how is everybody?
Hey.
Hi.
I'm sorry, but I've got to ask, what is up with those white gloves that you're wearing? Those are really, I don't know what, I mean, they're interesting.
Thank you. Well, as you guys probably know, I am the lead handbell for the our handbell choir, you know, here at Twin Hills. And I like to wear them just all the time. Now, I've kind of gotten used to just always having them on.
Yeah.
Just because it may, you know, really, once you take them off, in my mind, I'm not in the handbell choir anymore. So I just leave them on.
So you leave them on 24/7.
24/7. Great. I will admit, I have a hand trash bag. So okay. When I take a shower, I put like the trash bag over my gloves. Okay. Don't want to get the gloves wet.
Yeah.
But I have numerous pairs of white ones and a few sparkled ones, colored ones, bedazzled ones.
Oh,
that
wow.
is so great.
Like Michael Jackson, a real icon from my childhood. Now,
yeah.
So you just do the thing like if you break your leg and you have to put a garbage bag around the cast to go mm-hmm. swimming in the summertime in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what you do in your regular showers?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, my hands are very white, you know, real. They haven't seen the sun and probably I've been doing this job for about 13 years. So I would right. say at least 13.
So yeah, that's really fascinating. You've not, your hands haven't seen the light of day in 13 years. I mean,
yeah.
Have you even shown them to your family or anything?
No, you know, my wife, Donna, she of course saw them in the beginning, you know,
right.
before I became the choir leader. But, you know, I a few rules, like I don't really eat at a buffet.
Okay.
I don't do buffets anymore. Uh-huh. You know, I used to do a lot of CC pizza. Do you guys know that CC? There's a CC pizza everywhere.
Love CC pizza. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it.
I love it. So I stopped going to CC's. I just wouldn't go anymore because I found that my gloves were getting greasy and colored ultimately. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
I mean, white, you really got to keep them clean. But I like how you put your wedding ring on the outside of mm-hmm. That's cool.
Well, I don't want to give anybody any different ideas.
That's right. That's right. Although, you know what I've heard, and I think this is really twisted, is that sometimes gals, they look for a guy who has a wedding ring on because they're interested in fellas who aren't available emotionally. They're just interested in a physical relationship. So you really have to watch out for that.
Well, I will keep my eyes open. I wasn't aware that that was a thing.
You also can moisturize your hands under those gloves, like at bedtime. And mm-hmm. man, will you have some supple knuckles?
You know, the other day I was Googling eczema.
Uh-huh.
And I got a little eczema on the okay. back of my legs, like right between, you know, right behind the knee. You
right.
know, that little groove.
Yes.
You know, that little groove. Anyway, for babies, they have this like eczema sleeve.
Okay.
And you can put, there's eczema in like a sleeve and then you can wear it. So I started squirting some eczema cream and some lotion into these gloves.
Oh,
I've been doing
awesome.
It now for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, you're going to see a difference.
I'm so glad you weren't just Googling eczema randomly. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, how do you get rid of it? I was taking a bunch of salt baths and then mm-hmm. I called my, well, not mine anymore, but my son's old pediatrician because he knows a lot about it.
Uh-huh, uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
he said, stop taking salt baths.
Oh, whoa.
So, Randy, I mean, I just have to ask, what is it about bells specifically that really got you interested in all that? Because, you know, here at Twin Hills, I would say that that's a pretty traditional kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's been a lot of pushback initially about even having a handbell choir because...
Yeah, it's been kind of controversial, huh? People right. don't mm-hmm. think it's like a contemporary enough.
Right. And sometimes, you know, people think, oh, do we have a handbell choir? Do we not? And then you guys show up again and it seems like we do. So I just wanted to ask you, what is going on? Why bells and why do you think this is so important?
Well, you know, it's just, this is just a little history on bells, ultimately.
Okay.
You know,
oh, right. I can't wait.
You know what the most famous bell is? It's the Liberty Bell.
Oh, Liberty right? Bell.
Mm-hmm. Liberty Bell is probably mm-hmm. the most famous bell. And people go to Philadelphia to see this thing, mm-hmm. right? And they travel mm-hmm. from all over. It's got a crack in it, if you yep. guys did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Has a crack. I think lightning hit it or something.
Oh, I'm not sure. I believe.
I think that's
same
why.
Same as Back to the Future, the clock. That's so
it's
cool.
It's a lot like that clock tower,
cool,
right?
Cool. Okay.
And I think if, you know, I'm not sure if you can go 88 and lightning hit it again, you can travel in time.
Yeah.
But maybe. But yeah. maybe,
well,
I don't know.
Not to take too big of a detour here, Randy, but mm-hmm. I was thinking about time travel recently, and I feel mm-hmm. like there's a paradox, because if in the future we've figured out time travel, wouldn't we be coming back to us right now saying, here's how you do it?
Well, you're saying if individuals figured out time travel, right? So if like you yourself figured out time travel, you would come back and talk to you.
Oh, well, are you thinking of it as like a full, like takes a village kind of thing?
I think when I think of time travel, I think only a select few people get to do it.
Oh, really? Like a Stephen Hawking and stuff like that?
Yeah, him, you know, Michael Jordan,
uh-huh.
You Bugs know.
Bunny, Bezos.
Bezos. I mean, those millionaires like Bunny, Bezos, Jordan, Hawking, those guys probably get to time travel. And then they would come back and tell everybody, hey, I'm Michael Jordan from 2055.
Got it. Well, I do have to say, just again, sorry for the tangent, but speaking mm-hmm. of Jordan,
mm-hmm.
I thought that when you did that Bulls song with oh, the mm-hmm. bells and you yeah. had the laser lights and it was
yep.
like...
The Alan Parsons Project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how does that go again? Because I thought that was cool.
It was their old introduction.
Yeah,
it was the 90s introduction from all those championship Bulls. Now,
yes.
I know I should like the Pacers. I understand I should be a Pacers fan. They're a hometown team.
That's right. That's right.
But that's not my NBA team. My NBA team is the Chicago Bulls.
Chicago mm-hmm. Bulls. Still yes. to this day?
Still to this day. Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, those guys, they just won me over. And I just kind of stuck with them.
Well, I can see your inspiration. So the first time I saw you do handbells in the main auditorium here at mm-hmm. Twin Hills, you brought down all the lights, you
yep.
fogged the room, you
yep.
had, I mean, how long was that table of bells? How many handbellers did you have up there?
Well, that time we had 23 for Michael Jordan's number.
Oh,
that's why we had 23. Now, thank you for noticing too, because nobody has ever asked me that, but we did have 23.
That was a lot of handbellers.
Well, you know, they go in different numbers. You know, your ensemble, we call it an ensemble too.
Oh, cool.
You know, your ensemble can have as many as 4 to as many as, you know, 100, really, if you have that many bells.
Fantastic. Okay. And I really do love how you all, you know, you really move up there where you're moving from one bell to another. Sometimes someone's, you know, I guess you would call it sets a screen and the other mm-hmm. one runs for a bell. And mm-hmm. it just seems like you have plays that you're running even as you're playing the bells.
Well, that is true. You know, unfortunately, we have had less and less people auditioning for our bell program over the years. I know, you know, in like 2006, 2007, 2008, when we started, I mean, I think I had to turn away 15 people or so.
Oh,
I said,
right.
you're not going to be a handbell choir person. And I'd have a face-to-face with them. I would talk to them about it.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Know, and be
good.
Like, keep working at it. We're going to have another audition a year. Now we're having a harder time getting people to come in.
And why do you
so we have to be a little more creative. We have to be a little more creative.
Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, Gray, there is a little bit of a, I guess people just think it's dumb, ultimately. Or they think handbells are, you know what they'd rather do? They'd rather get on their Spotify. They'd rather get on, you know, everything's so electronical mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. technology has kind of taken over. And my thing is, it's the art of the live show.
Yep.
The live show can't be stopped.
It's right. powerful. Yep. There's a connection.
Now, I do want to circle back because you said you were inspired by the Liberty Bell. And that is, you know, that's one of my favorite American bells too,
mm-hmm.
because it just reminds me of religious liberty. Because in mm-hmm. Australia, we don't have the Liberty Bell, but we have something called Pappy Mulroon's Bell of Freedom. And basically what that is anytime someone rings that bell, they're really showing us that, you know, I'm a Christian. It's basically just a bell people ring to show that they're Christians.
Cool.
And yeah, mm-hmm. it's on a giant tower in the middle of Sydney. So it's pretty awesome.
I would love to go over and see that bell.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
I would
it
love.
It's so inspiring. But the Liberty Bell really is what gave you a start.
Well, that started it. You know, I'm like, it's probably our it's in our top 5, I bet, of monuments.
Right.
You know, I like Rushmore, Disney World. You know, there's probably the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
Solid. Know,
the Alamo and the Liberty Bell. That's probably your five of monuments.
Awesome. Right? So, have you ever been to Geronimo's Cave?
I have not. And where is that in Texas?
It's gotta be. It sounds like it would be.
That would be my guess.
So the Liberty Bell was your inspiration.
Yeah. So I started there and I said, of these monuments, how can I be a part of American history?
Yes.
Liberty Bell is the one. And then, you know, when I was, you know, I started playing when I was like 11 and then the love just kind of, it grabbed a hold of me, you know, and then I just never gave it up. And that's what I've been doing, you know, for numerous years now.
And I feel like there's a Christian metaphor in there that the Liberty Bell is cracked because, you know, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. I guess we all got a crack in our bell. And I'm so glad you mentioned Rushmore, too, because I think it's iconic and it's really important. And my son, Day, you know, he gets these progressive ideas at public school. But he was telling me, Mom, we got these white men, slave owners up there in a statue. And I said, bite your tongue. These are good guys. You know, I mean, Thomas Jefferson might have owned slaves, but guess what? It was the same as like having a Costco membership today. It was just the sign of the times, and he was a Christian. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, yeah, that's true. That is so true. And, I, you know, all I was going to say, if these Mount Rushmores were so easy to make, and if there were better people, we would just make them in every state. Right. That's my idea.
Wow.
And what we forget is Thomas Jefferson invented the dumbwaiter. And like that, you know,
that right?
I feel like that erases a lot of sins.
Oh, it's got to.
So do you think, now there's something a bit controversial, and I know, I hate to bring up a sore subject, but this recent performance that you called, or I guess it was billed as Hell's Bells. What was kind of going on there? Because I feel like, you know, people were thinking, well, I didn't really realize bells could be quite so scary.
Well, you know, great. Something I've been trying to do over the course of the last 6 months to a year is kind of update our bell catalog.
Right.
Right. With a little more modern songs, right.
Awesome.
And songs that I feel will get some more people involved in the handbell ensemble.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, we've been working on ACDC's Hell's Bells. We also attempted Thunderstruck. We also are currently doing Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters. And yes, because I believe there's a new Ghostbusters movie coming out within the next year or two.
Awesome.
And so what I'm trying to do is get us to maybe play at the premiere, the movie premiere.
Awesome.
Okay.
So I hope the new Ghostbusters doesn't have a bunch of gals in it, because that doesn't make a ton of sense, does it?
I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I'm like, who are these people? That was my main question. I didn't know them.
Yeah.
Oh, and you didn't recognize the actors? So
I'd never seen them before.
Oh, really?
I think a few
of them have been in things, haven't they? No.
And I just didn't believe that ghosts would be scared of a couple of gals.
Well, yeah. No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Like, they're ghosts, right?
Yeah.
They're stronger than women.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I think women jump up on the counter if there's a mouse.
Right. And I think, you know, you can't, that catchphrase, ain't afraid of no ghost, doesn't really make sense if you're a lady saying that.
It doesn't ring true.
Oh, that is really good.
That's good. And just to circle back to AC/DC, because I remember this when I was coming up in high school, I always learned that AC/DC meant Antichrist Devil Church. And
really?
My son Day, he was like, no, Mom, it's an audio thing with you have the AC and the DC wires making sound or something.
I think that's right. I believe that's right. You know, I always thought it was After Church Dad Church.
Oh, and what's After Church Dad Church?
I didn't know. I was like, nobody ever told me that it was anything else. So I just assumed it was After Church Dad Church.
Oh, that's cool. Are you a dad?
I am. I have one son, Murray.
Oh, Murray. And have you gotten him into the bells?
Murray won't do it.
Oh, really?
He won't do it. He doesn't think it's cool. So also, I'm going to show him.
No.
Yeah.
Well, did he see the Hell's Bells?
He did. He said it was garbage.
Oh, no.
And I was like, Murray, he's 15. This is what I chalk it up.
Yeah, well, it's, well, you know, 15's a garbage age if you really think about it. Like, they've got a lot of learning to do.
Now, do you feel like being a father of an only child son, do you feel like that makes you relate to God at all? Because God was a dad of a single son.
Yeah, you know, having one, a lot of people saying having more than one is hard. I say having one is hard, hardest.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, you can mess this one up and you don't have a second one.
Oh.
You know, like when you're grilling burgers and you have like two or three burgers on the grill and you mess one up and you're like, it's okay, I got two more. I don't have anything to worry about.
Yeah.
Well, right now, my father grill, I got one kid grilling, right? And I feel like I flipped it too early and now some of it's stuck to the grill. And then I feel like I left this side on too long and now it's burnt.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's also
just, I'm just kind of trying to follow the metaphor. So what was it that when you say flip too early, was that just, you know, what did that actually look like in your life? Was it?
Well, I tried to get him in bells when he was like four.
Oh, I see.
I was like, that was, you know, I was watching at that time something about Earl Woods and how he did his son, Tigray Woods.
Okay.
And El Tigray. And I was like, what a fun idea. I'm going to do that with my son in bells.
Oh, so you wanted him to be sort of the Tiger Woods of bells.
Of bells. And he, you know what? At 4 years old, he took to it quickly. Uh-huh. But at five, he was burnt out.
Oh,
so that's the flip. I flipped him too early.
Yeah.
Maybe he was hard. I wanted him to hold the biggest bell.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, what I call the English bell. That's the biggest one. Oh, the English bell has the leather on the end.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you call it the English bell? Just...
Well, because it originated in England.
Oh, okay.
And so that's the English bell. So the English bell is the big one. With the leather strap is the key,
that's
really,
cool.
on the English bell.
I guess we all originated in England, if you think about it.
Huh. Yeah. You know, you're right.
Yeah,
that's true.
And then we dumped all their tea, and they've been upset about it ever since.
Well, thank God for that guy who was riding the horse.
That's right.
You know what? He had a bell. He was saying the British are coming, and he was ringing a bell.
Mr. Revere, one of the Mount Rushmore of bell ringers.
Oh, that's right. Awesome. That's right. He rung a bell to say British were coming.
That is awesome. Now, I do have to ask another bit of wardrobe. Not tell me if this is too personal of a question, but I've noticed when my husband, Lance Labatt, and I, we went skeet shooting, and you got to wear these cool hunter shirts that have a pad on the shoulder so the gun kicks back and doesn't hurt too much. Is that what has Donna sewn pads into your, what is that? Your each breast there in the front, you got a pad. Is that, were you hitting yourself too hard with the bells?
I would whack them back, right? So then you whack them against your body. And that's how you get different. Now that one, there's different moves, right? You know, like that one, you do the whack and then you want to do the knuckle across the bell.
Okay.
You know, so that it gives you a different sound, right? And so to answer your question, first off, I was bruising my chest at a pretty regular rate, right?
Whoa.
So then I had Donna make some pads. And then I don't know if you can see it, but there's a little bit of a Velcro here.
Yes.
And so I can take the smaller bells and latch it onto my shirt.
Oh.
So then I have like two bells up on my chest, and then I can grab two bells, put those bells down, grab the bells off my chest.
That is such a good idea. What great design. And I do, I do remember, I guess it was last year when someone, you did have she was a really small woman. I guess she hit herself with that English bell and it seemed like she broke a collarbone right there on stage.
Yes. Yeah. No, she did. She did. You're right. That lady was named Peggy Crist.
Okay.
And Peggy, God rest her soul, hasn't been back.
Oh, she passed. Collarbone.
She passed. She passed.
Oh, no. Did she get like a staph infection from the broken clavicle?
Yes. And she went and she never came out of the hospital.
Oh,
and she never came out. Yes. Yes. It broke it, staph infection, and it was over. So we do one of our bells, our smaller bells, we call the Peggy.
That's a
nice
it's
tribute.
It's very thoughtful. Now, is placing the bell hard against your chest the only way to stop the sound? Or can you, how do you do it?
Yeah, no, it depends the kind of sound you want, right? Mm-hmm. If you, when you hit your chest, when you hit it quickly, it'll get you like a thump, like a real, a thump. You can also lightly tap it and it rings longer.
Ooh.
You know, it's just kind of how you want to manipulate, I would say, the bell. You can do there's numerous moves to it, and some are my own that I've created, and some are, ones that are universally known.
It just seems like this is, and I wish more people would really get into bells, because when they hear you talk about these bells, you can hear the passion, and I've just got to imagine you must have had such a wholesome, traditional upbringing to even have these bells in your life. I mean, what was your childhood like? Were you just always a Christian and just always having this stuff, or was there anything that we should know?
Well, my mother was pretty regular at church here, and I started going with her many years ago, and my father, who didn't have to work, my father always had to work on Sundays from like 10 to 12 in the morning.
Oh no.
So convenient.
What did he do?
He worked at a restaurant. He was a waiter at a restaurant.
Just from 10 to 12? Oh, was it sort of a
brunch place? And he was at church hours. So depending on if we go to the early morning service, he had to work from, 7 to 10. Okay. If we had to go, if we went to the second service, he would go, he would go then. So,
okay.
Now, I believe what he was doing was getting in his car and just driving around for a couple hours.
Oh, no.
And he just wasn't into it like my mother was. So I would go with her. And I got to tell you, I kind of took to the bells quickly. I just kind of, I saw them at such a young age. And there was, you know, there was a guy named Tommy Dewey who, and now he's passed. And he was, I mean, I know we talked about this gentleman already, but he was the Michael Jordan of the handbells. For us.
Really?
Oh my gosh. This was in the, you know, this was in the early 80s. His hands were so big. He had huge hands, Tommy did. And Tommy could, he could hold like three or four bells in each hand.
Fantastic. Yeah, fantastic.
It was like an octopus.
Wow.
And yeah. So did you, I guess you would imagine that he is kind of like a father figure to you, because really, you know, if you got your dad out and driving around saying he's, you know, working at a brunch place, but not really going to church, you've got this awesome guy, Tommy. And I keep telling my kids in Climax Alley, this is the kind of figure I am to these kids, because a lot of them have, you know, deadbeat dads kind of like he did.
Well, I, a lot of boys probably had posters in their room of like girls or sports figures or whoever. I had, I'd make my mother take photos of Tommy, and I would put those up with all the bells, and they would just line my my wall.
Whatever happened to Tommy Dewey?
I believe Tommy had an accident, a jet skiing accident.
Oh no!
Out on the pond.
Really?
Here on campus? Oh, I heard
here on campus.
That.
Oh, yeah, really? I think he had a booze problem.
Oh no!
Yeah, being a really efficient handbell player takes a toll. Because you feel like you're probably not as important as, you know, the organist, the piano, you know, the choir, the reverend, you know, those
and
people.
These true artists, they really seem a little bit tormented souls, don't they? Mm-hmm. If you're really an artist, there's a real darkness there. And I just want to, I'm so sorry for Tommy Dewey, your loss and all that. But you know what? I bet when you get to the pearly gates, Randy, Tommy Dewey's going to be waiting there for you.
Oh, I hope so. I hope he's got eight bells in his hands.
That's right.
Oh. He will. Just ready to play them out.
Oh, what an image.
So awesome. And I just think, you know, you were saying it's just, we're entering a real sad era of humanity where all the kids are on their devices and everybody's locked onto a screen and they just want to be alone and play their Twitch games or whatever. Yep. Mm-hmm. And here you're fostering community. You said it with the word ensemble. You said handbell choir is an ensemble. I just think that is very God honoring, because in that type of close-knit community, you can keep each other accountable. You can, you know, keep each other on your prayer lists, and you can say, hey, we have a standard for handbell choir members for sexual purity, for, you know, a purity of your mind and all of that. You can be like Gray does with some of his teens. They're accountability buddies.
That's right.
Well, that's why, you know, I'm trying to take our handbell choir into the 21st century.
Ooh,
right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get these kids and to get some interest, to get them off their phones and to get them away from their Switches and their Xboxes and their PS18s and whatever they're playing, you know.
Right.
And I'm trying to update our song list. So that's why we did Hell's Bells and Thunderstruck and, you know, Ghostbusters, you know, and that's why we're adding in, we're going to add in the Toto from Africa.
That's cool. I like
that song.
That's a great song. And that's why those songs are, you got to hear which songs sound, you know, have the important, you know, bell, has the important bell.
Okay.
So another one is the Phil Collins song, Into the Air.
Love
tonight.
It.
You know that drum. That we do that part with our handbells.
I just love that you're choosing these songs that I wouldn't say are current, but are definitely classic and iconic. Because, you know, I mean, have you ever thought about doing anything even from the last 20 years?
You know, we're going to have, I have, but, you know, we do have coming up, you know, we're trying to play at least twice a month. And so I know the next, we have El DeBarge night, where we're doing all El DeBarge songs. And then we have a handbell choir, which is all Lionel Richie songs.
Okay.
And then I think we have a Bengals night as well.
Oh,
so those are kind of our next three nights, you know, the next month and a half.
That's so cool.
That is so great. And I think, you know, you've just got to be careful, because sometimes, you know, songs like that, you know, not the Bengals, of course, but like Lionel Richie, you know, even just the melodies are very sensual. And I think sometimes, like even when I'm programming Climax, I've got to make sure that those sounds even aren't getting my kids thinking, you know, impure thoughts, but are still getting them, you know, worked up in a way for Jesus and Christ specifically.
Lionel Richie is very erotic.
It is just awesome. This kind of like, you're bringing such a Christ-centered focus on secular songs that we're just repurposing. And it would just be awesome if even like, because I don't think I've known a single one of these bands that you've said. So I'm just wondering if like even something a little more current would really start to resonate, because, you know, you said you want to update the bells, but it just seems like maybe these are just a little bit on the cusp of, you know, being a part of history or something.
Maybe, you know, that's a good idea. I did have this idea a couple days ago. I don't know if you guys heard, but there was a passing of Bismarcky.
Okay.
And so I thought, you know what we should do? We're going to play his So You Say You're Just a Friend song.
Okay.
Oh, baby, ding.
Yeah.
Still you got old. What I need, ding. Ding. But oh, you say he's ding a friend, ding. You say he's ding a friend. Oh, ding, ding, ding.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you know what, though? You might be onto something, you two, because say he gets a real contemporary person like the Stallion gal, you know, mm-hmm. who's singing about mm-hmm. her body parts and, you know, causing people to lust in the flesh and stuff. It might really cause, you know, people to have sexual stumbling blocks from handbells. And it makes me wonder.
I don't think that has ever happened, Hallie. There's just no way.
But I'm sure you've considered it, Randy, that like, and I wanted to ask, what do you typically do with your body when you're playing handbells? Because I know that a lot of times rock and roll, just in general, it makes people start moving their hips so yeah. much. And the reason that's sort of frowned upon in the Christian community is because you might shake your hips so hard, you inadvertently insert yourself inside somebody else. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then, mm-hmm. Is it kind of like Irish dance where you have to keep everything, you know, stiff and still from the waist down, or mm-hmm. what's the proper stance?
Well, I like to tell everybody, well, first off, we all keep our pants on there and shirts on during
underneath the robes,
underneath the, like, there's no jokesters. Right. And cause I do a robe check before we go out there. I will open good. Everyone's robe.
Okay,
I would
good.
Individually, and I will just do it. And I told them at the beginning of the year, I'm going to always do a robe check because in 2014, we were in Columbia, Missouri at, it was the Midwest Convention is held in Columbia, Missouri, handbell
awesome.
Convention.
Awesome.
And, I had a little jokester there who, came out with underwear on and he had an elephant's trunk in the middle of his underwear.
What?
Yeah. Oh, and he pulled off his robe.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm. And then I was like, so I'm robe checking from then on out. I'm robe jacket.
You got to. And if I may compliment you, I think it's cool that you got those psychedelic looking robes to make you look cooler, you know, not boring, not churchy.
I'll tell you where I got that idea. I was a pretty big wrestling fan.
Oh, is that
right? And I tell you, I noticed all these wrestlers, a lot of them, and I'm talking the great ones, like the Ric Flairs of the world, come out in these just wonderful robes, right? These beautiful robes that say like flowers and say Nature Boy, you know, and I was like, why aren't we doing this? Right. Why are we using these robes?
It's just that's amazing. Cool. And I, you know, wrestling, another thing, I would just love it if you could even if it's just a wrestler from nowadays, you know, like mm-hmm. someone recent, because, you know, mm-hmm. I think Ric Flair's dead, right? No,
I don't know anymore. I kind of, I haven't caught up as much, but I think he almost died. And then I think he's still alive. He's unkillable.
Oh,
you know, him, you know, Hulk Hogan, Junkyard Dog, you know, those are the guys that I reference with the choir a lot.
That's great. It is amazing. Cause you know, your references, I like, even I always know when you're in the parking lot, because you drive that Chevy Lumina that you've even painted the bell on the side. Cause it's kind of the shape of a bell. And
shape
of
a bell.
That thing mm-hmm. must be from like 1990 or something.
I think I got it in like, the late '80s, early '90s. That's why I picked up. And well, that's the Bellmobile, right? So we drive that and to all the, you know, there's contests and conventions, you know, and it only plays, it has a speaker system that goes outside the car. And we'll play our bell music on our way to these places.
What a way to witness. Now, when you mm-hmm. go on these conventions and stuff, mm-hmm. do you do a room check? Because what if these bellers are, you know, sneaking into hotel rooms and whatnot?
Well, you know, it is, because, you know, the Olympics, I always think of the Olympics, you know, and I don't know if you know this about, you know, like the village, the athlete village that they all live in.
No.
Very similar to the Bell Village.
Oh, really?
When we stay in a hotel. It gets pretty rowdy. People are, I don't know what everybody's doing. It's the one weekend where I say, hands off Friday and Saturday. You show up and perform. That's all I care about.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
So, you know, if you stay up till 11 or 12, you know, we normally have our morning call is like 7:30
mm-hmm.
and that just be there at 7:30.
And if you're doing a robe check anyway, you'd be able to tell if there had been any, you know, mm-hmm. messing around the night before. You'd probably smell it.
You could smell it. And Hallie, I wanted to answer the one part of your question. You were saying, do you keep it stiff? Is it Irish dancing?
Right.
You know, I like to tell everybody, keep it loose as a goose, right?
Oh, really?
Keep it loose as a goose. And you know, if you're having fun, they're having fun.
That's
right.
Awesome.
And so that will encourage everybody to get it, you know, don't, you know, jerk around and throw your whole body everywhere, but, you know, smile, eyes, ears, body.
Yeah.
so awesome. And it's been really nice getting to know how you've just updated Bells. At least you've updated them from, you know, at least up to within about 30 years. And I think that's just so cool. Do you have anything that you're working on that's coming up that you're really excited about?
Yes. This Sunday night, we're doing a Duran Duran night. And, you know, I'll tell you right now, we're going to probably close with Hungry Like a Wolf.
Oh,
that's a great one. So I think it's going to be a Duran Duran night, and we're going to do it Sunday and Monday.
Count me in. I'll bring some of my kids, see if I can get them to come audition for you.
Thank you.
And what did you, and who did you say the band was?
Duran Duran.
Never heard of them.
Randy Sinder was played by the incredible Andy St. Clair. You can follow him at St. Clair Andy. I'm Holly Laurent, playing Hallie Labonte, and Gray Haas was played by Greg Hess. Follow us and Mega the Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you really want to get out of hell free card, support us on Patreon. The link is in the show notes.